these beginning verses, the Lord is addressing the matter of human tradition. And he addressed tradition on this occasion because he was confronted by the Pharisees and certain of the scribes. You see that in verse number 1. About why his disciples ate without washing their hands. And the reason the Pharisees and scribes made such a big to-do about that was because it went against their tradition. It did not go against the Word of God. It went against their tradition. But as we'll see in our study today, they had got to the point where their tradition was the authority. They had rejected the Word of God. They had laid aside the Word of God. Those are things we'll read today. And they had made their tradition the absolute and final authority. And so Jesus' disciples did something that went against their authority. And because of this, they confronted the Lord Jesus. If you look back once again at verse number 3, you'll notice it says there, the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, that is, often eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold. I talked a little bit about that. These were traditions they had received. In other words, they had been passed to them. And they had been told to hold those traditions. That's what it means when it says they had received to hold. Somebody had given them these traditions and told them they needed to hold those traditions. And here's some of the other things besides the not washing your hands before you eat. Others, verse 4, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. So they had come up with all sorts of traditions. And again, these they had made the authority. And we see in verse 5, it says, then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, they asked the Lord, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders? They don't ask him, why do your disciples not walk according to the Word of God? They say, why don't your disciples walk according to the tradition of the elders? That again shows that their tradition was the authority. They were not really concerned with what the Bible had to say. And again, that'll be clear as we go on into the passage. But they weren't concerned about the Scripture. They were concerned about their tradition because in their mind, their tradition was more important than what the Word of God had to say. And it's a sad, sad place whenever a person or a church or whatever gets to the point that they elevate their tradition above the Word of God. And unfortunately, that is what has happened in a lot of our churches today. Now, I mentioned last Sunday that there are a lot of traditions people hold to or adhere to that have absolutely nothing to do with religion at all. It's just some type of family tradition or whatever that has been handed down from one generation to the next. But there are a lot of religious traditions that have developed in our churches down through the years. And unfortunately, we've got to the point where in a lot of churches, we've just put aside what the Bible said, and we've made our traditions the authority above everything else. And that is a horrible, terrible place for any church to be. But that was the case with these Pharisees. So they asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? What a horrible sin. What an ungodly, terrible thing. They eat a piece of bread without washing their hands. Last Sunday I talked to you about how it's a matter of hygiene. You know, it's probably better if you're able to wash your hands before you eat. But I can remember many times growing up when I was a kid, and I guess maybe this is how it is with kids oftentimes. Little kids don't tend to worry so much about hygiene. You know what I mean? They will eat mud pies sometimes. So they're not really all that worried about it. And I can remember when I was a kid, you know, having nasty hands and maybe not taking the time to wash my hands before I ate or whatever. But as I've gotten older, that hygiene is more important to me. And I think it is important, but it isn't spiritual. There's nothing spiritual about making sure that you wash your hands before you sit down to a meal. That's just a matter of hygiene. But these elders here are mad and upset because they didn't wash their hands before they ate, because they had broken their tradition. So Jesus answers. He addresses their complaint, their fault. Verse 2 says they found fault. So the Lord's just going to accept this challenge. He's going to address this hypocrisy that he sees right here in the lives of these people. The Lord never shied away from confrontation. Now, he didn't go out seeking confrontation, but if somebody wanted to challenge him on the authority of Scripture, on what he did, he had no problem meeting that confrontation. And what he would do is just tell it exactly like it was, irregardless of who he was talking to. Now, the vast majority of the time, his confrontation was with the Pharisees. Very rarely do you read in the Gospels where he had a confrontation with someone who wasn't very religious. But these Pharisees were a constant burr under his saddle, just always challenging him about the things he did or the things he said or what they saw his disciples do. And the Lord would always deal with those things. And he would just call it straight, tell it just like it was, and this here is no exception. Look at verse number 6. He answered and said unto them, well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites. You see what he does? How he starts out his rebuttal, you might say, of their fault finding? They've made their authority their tradition. So when he opens his mouth, you know what he does? He takes them first to the real authority. He takes them straight to the Word of God. That's what he does. Because the authority in all matters of faith and practice is the Word of God. In everything. It doesn't matter what the issue is. The authority is always the Bible. And it's only when we get away from that authority that we start having problems. That's when we start making a mess of things, when we get away from that authority. And Jesus takes them right to the only absolute final authority that exists on this planet, and that's the Word of God. Takes them straight to it and uses the Word of God to point out the problem that they had. He says, well hath Esaias, that's Isaiah he's talking about. Esaias is Isaiah. Prophesied of you hypocrites. So he goes back to the Old Testament, to Isaiah the prophet, and he gives them a quotation from one of his prophecies. This would be Isaiah chapter 29 and verse number 13. Isaiah 29, 13. Well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now notice, first of all, he right to their face calls them hypocrites. Isn't that what he did? He said, well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites. Modern day people, even modern day Christians, are so thin skinned they can't handle stuff like that. A preacher were to get up and just look out the congregation and say, all of you just a bunch of hypocrites, well, they'd probably vote him out before the sun went down. They just can't handle it. I mean, I'm serious. They just can't handle it. We've been so petted and pampered and lied to by the news media and all this other garbage that's in the world today, that we just can't handle it straight anymore. We want somebody to flour it up, to butter it up, to make it sound better than it actually is. And this is true if you'll just pay attention. And as I've told you before, what I would really like for us to do is just get to where we can think with some common sense again. What's happened is we've allowed this wicked carnal world to rob us of good old common sense. And just look around today at how the world has flowered up sin and wrong. Think of how they've changed the names and the terminology to describe things to where they're not offensive anymore. You know what I'm talking about? Because we're so worried about offending somebody, so worried about hurting somebody's feelings. If we tell it straight, then we're going to hurt them, and We're going to make them feel bad about themselves. And the last thing that we ever want to do is make anybody feel bad about themselves. That's a lie from hell. When you're full of sin, you need to feel bad about yourself. When you got problems in your life that's wicked and ungodly, you don't need to walk around feeling good about yourself. And you sure don't need somebody patting you on the back, excusing the wrong that's in your life. What you need is somebody like the Lord Jesus Christ that'll just say, look, here's what your problem is. Because haven't we talked about it before? The only way you can get help for your problem or I can get help for my problem is to admit we got a problem. That's the only way. And as long as somebody's stroking us the right way and telling us what we want to hear instead of what we need to hear, it's very unlikely that we're going to come clean with ourselves. And if we can't come clean with ourselves, we sure can't come clean with God. We need the truth. We don't need to be stroked and mollycoddled and all that mess. We need the truth. But modern-day Christianity, they can't take it. I can show you, and we ain't going to do it for the sake of time, but I can take you to place after place after place after place after place in the Bible where people called names. You hear what I'm saying? This broad, general stuff today, you know, they and all that kind of business. There's people in the Bible who just said, you need to watch out for, and called his name right there. You get in the pulpit today and say, look, this person in our congregation is a problem. Boom, give their name. They'll crucify you. Can't handle it. But that's how they did it in the Bible. Y'all mighty quiet. Hey, either we're a Bible-believing church or we ain't now. You can walk around with a bless God, we believe the Bible. If you won't accept the Bible, you don't believe the Bible. Now, I'm telling you the truth. I'm giving you Bible this morning. You'll either accept it or you won't accept it. But we got to get back to where we call it like it is and tell the truth so we can get the help we need. The Lord Jesus Christ just looked at that bunch and said, you're a bunch of hypocrites is what you are. He wasn't worried about whether he offended them, whether they got mad with him, and it was that bunch that was behind his crucifixion. He didn't care. He just told them what their problem was. But now understand, he's not doing this out of spite, and this is important. We do need to speak the truth and tell the truth, but it doesn't need to be with the wrong spirit. It doesn't need to be because we're mad with somebody or they've hurt our feelings and we just feel like we got to lash out back at them and call them a worse name than they've called us. I ain't talking about that kind of stuff. You know what that is? That's immature, childlike behavior is what that is. When somebody says something about you and hurts your feelings and then you think, well, I got to say something worse about them, that's how little kids are in the schoolyard, aren't they? You know, little kid, well, you said something about me, so I'm going to say something about your mama now or something. That's just childish behavior. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about telling somebody the truth about their condition so that hopefully they'll see that condition and get that condition straight with the Lord. There's a vast difference in that and in somebody just lashing out because their feelings got hurt or they're mad. Y'all follow what I'm saying? And Jesus didn't call them hypocrites because he was mad at them because they said something about his disciples breaking their tradition. He called them hypocrites because that's what their problem was. They were genuinely hypocrites, and he's wanting them to recognize what their problem is. Because until you recognize the problem, you cannot get any help. Just can't do it. So he tells them, look, guys, y'all just hypocrites. That's what you are. It's hypocrites. And then he takes the Bible to support what he said about them. And that's the thing. What I perceive in a person as a problem, I need to make sure it's an actual problem and not just something that I don't approve of. Y'all listening to me? See, these Pharisees, they perceived that the disciples had done something wrong, but actually they had not. And oftentimes when we say that somebody's got a problem, it's just a problem from our perspective. We think it's something they ought not do. But look, if somebody's not violating the scripture, going against the word of God, then that doesn't necessarily mean that there's something wrong there, even if it's something you don't approve of. Y'all listening to me? You may not approve of it because you don't think that's the way it ought to be, but if you can't support your claim with Scripture, you might better keep your mouth shut. Okay? I better do that. So Jesus addresses the issue, you're hypocrites, and then he supports what he says with the Bible. Y'all following that? And that's important. He's not just lashing out. He's trying to make them aware this is your problem, and I got Bible to support this is your problem. And if you're going to deal with someone, and there comes times where that is necessary, although we've really gotten away from that today too. We just don't talk to anybody. We see people just living in sin and doing wrong, but we don't say nothing. We just let it go. And that doesn't help anything. It just makes it worse and worse. But Jesus confronts them, uses the Bible. If you're ever going to deal with somebody about something, make sure that your heart's right in it, your motive's right. And make sure that if you're going to make a claim, that you can actually support that claim with the Scripture, not just your opinion. Because when you do that, then you really like these Pharisees. You just kind of dealing on tradition as opposed to the authority of the Bible. You always have to go back to the Scripture. And this is your Scripture, Isaiah 29:13. This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That is a perfect description of a hypocrite. That's why he used that particular scripture. He called him a hypocrite, and then he used a scripture that gives the perfect definition of a hypocrite. What's a hypocrite? A hypocrite is somebody that is a play actor. They're a pretender. They feign to be a certain way when in reality they're not that at all. They're something just the opposite. That's what a hypocrite is. And that's what he points out here with this scripture. This people honoreth me with their lips. They say all the right things about the Lord with their mouth. They honor God with their lips. Amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah, God bless you. All, you know, they got all the jargon and the lingo, all the religious terminology down pat. They know it all. And they say all that stuff. And what does that do to the people around them that see and hear what they're saying? It makes them think, well, these people are really spiritual, right? That's what it makes them think. But Jesus said, quoting from Isaiah, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, long way from me. So they're just hypocrites. It's all a facade. It's a put-on. It's a show. It's like a play. You know, when you go to see a play, which is something that I haven't done a whole lot in my life, but some people like to go see plays. You know what you have up on the stage there? You have actors. That's what they call them. They're pretending to be something that they are not in real life. That's a hypocrite, a pretender, a play actor. Churches are full of them today. Full of them. Pretend to be spiritual when in reality their heart is a long way from God. Their heart may be out in the world. Their heart may be out in a far country. Their heart's not near to God at all, but they say all the right things. They got all the lingo. They sing in the choir. Some of them even teach Sunday school. Some of them even preach and pastor churches. I mean, hey, it's the truth. Say all the right stuff. Put on a good show, but at the end of the day, that's all it is, just a show. That's it. Just pretending. Look at verse 7. Jesus says, howbeit, in vain do they worship me. Vain worship. The word vain means useless, worthless. It's good for nothing. In vain. Man, I'm telling you, church after church, church all across the land today are meeting for worship. And from God's perspective, not how they see it. But from God's perspective, it's just vain worship is all it is. Useless. Because it's just a show. It's not real. It's fake. People all over the congregation just pretending. Put on their Sunday go-to-meeting clothes, come down there, you know, shaking everybody's hand, toting their Bible, acting spiritual, saying all that stuff, and the night before they was drinking with their buddies. Ain't we having fun? It's true. the next weekend they'll be out, you know, whore hopping around, but then Sunday morning they'll show up at church. Hallelujah. You know. Yeah. Vain worship. And I tell you, in the context, what is vain worship is when you come to church and you worship your tradition and ignore what the Bible says. That's the actual context. Vain worship is when a church meets for worship and the authority is their tradition and not the Word of God. No matter how good it looks, no matter how good it sounds, it's just a bunch of hypocrisy that is useless and worthless in the eyes of God. That's what it is. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. He explains, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. They stand and teach, this is a doctrine, like you need to wash your hands before you eat. When you come back from the market, you don't eat until you wash your hand. That is a doctrine. That is something we are to stand on. We are to believe that. We are to practice that. That is a doctrine. We got to make sure we wash our tables and our brazen vessels and our cups and all that. That is doctrine. And you know what that is? According to the text, that's just tradition that they come up with. But they're teaching it as Bible doctrine. And that is vain worship. It's just the commandments of men. It's what they had come up with. Paul warns about this in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. I'd like for y'all to write these verses down. We won't take the time to go there, but you really ought to read them. You really should. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. He warns about the tradition of men. Also, Colossians chapter 2, verse 22. Colossians 2:8, Colossians 2:22, Paul warns about these traditions and the commandments of men and that sort of thing. But look here, Mark chapter 7, verse 8, for laying aside, this is what they did, for laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold, which they had been told to hold, back verse 4, which they have received to hold. They were told, you hold on to that. Don't you let anybody change your mind. You hold on to that. This is the way it is. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men. Instead of holding on to the word of God, they got a death grip on their tradition and they won't let it go. Just hanging on to it. Man, through the years, have I seen that and dealt with that? I've come into churches to where they've been doing something for forever, seemed like, I guess. And it's just a tradition. That's all it is. And you try to do something different from that because you feel like that's the thing that needs to be done. And watch the fur hit the fan, my friend. I'm talking about real quick, like, just get all up in the fan in a hurry. That comes from people not caring what the Bible says and having a death grip on tradition. That's the result of that, is people pitching a full-blown hissy fit because you don't go along with what they say ought to be done. Wouldn't it be a blessing? I'm talking about revival would break out across the land. Y'all listening to me? Revival would break out across the land if people would let go of the death grip they have on tradition and get a death grip on the Word of God and say, we're going to do it like God says do it around here. Then you could have some revival. As long as people choking on that tradition, holding on to that, and don't care what the Bible says, ain't going to be no revival. You can have the best preacher in the whole world come in. You can have services for a month and a half at a time, get the best preaching, the best singing in the world, but until somebody's willing to let go of their tradition and get back to the Bible, they're not going to have any revival in their life. It's not going to happen. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. Now look at this here. The Lord knew all this stuff. Back up in verse 4, when it says, when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not, and many other things there be which they have received to hold, washing cups, pot, bread, and so forth. That's Mark's comment on the thing. That's not Jesus speaking there. That's Mark's comment on these Jews. But verse number 8 is Jesus talking. You know what Jesus says? He says, laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. That shows that Jesus was 100% aware of their tradition. He knew what the problem was. He knew what was going on with them. Whenever you find a person or a people that's steeped in tradition, the Lord knows about it. He knows all about it. And he said unto them, verse 9, full well, look at it, ye reject the commandment of God that ye may keep your own tradition. That's horrible. That's terrible. Terrible place to be. Just flat out reject God's commandment so they can keep their tradition. And he's going to illustrate this, verse 10 to 11. For Moses said, and understand when Moses said, you know what he's doing here? He's quoting actually from the Old Testament where Moses gave the law, especially the Ten Commandments. The one he's going to quote is one of the Ten Commandments here. But he's quoting where Moses gave the Ten Commandments to the people of Israel. But now let me ask you this. Who actually gave the Ten Commandments to the people of Israel? God did, right? Moses was just the messenger. He went up into the mountain. God gave him those Ten Commandments. He comes back down and he gives those Ten Commandments to them. So when it says in verse 10, Moses said, you need to be sure you understand that this wasn't just Moses talking, okay? Moses said what God said to the people. That's the idea. And here it is. Moses said, honor thy father and mother. Paul quotes that also in the book of Ephesians. Says it's the first commandment with promise. When you go back and read those Ten Commandments, that particular one is the first one that has a promise attached to it. And that promise is that you will live long on the earth and it'll go well with you if you honor your father and mother. Well, Jesus goes back here to that commandment here, honor thy father and thy mother. And then he goes on to another place in the scripture. Actually, there's a few places where this is found. Whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. He combines some scriptures there. He gives the honor of thy father and mother, which is part of the Ten Commandments. But that other part there, whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death, you find that in other places in the law. So you had the Ten Commandments given originally, but then the Lord gave many more commandments and statutes and testimonies and so forth to the people. And what God said later on in the law is that if you don't honor your father and mother, if you curse your father and mother, then what's supposed to happen to that child? They're to die. That was the law, okay? Thank God we're under grace, amen? I wouldn't be preaching to anybody this morning, and I wouldn't be preaching. We'd all been dead a long time ago for not obeying our parents like we needed to. Amen? Amen. Just want to make sure we ain't being hypocrites this morning. But whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. Notice, die the death. It's a particular death that they were to die. You know what that was? Stoning, that's right. The penalty back there for cursing your father and mother was to be stoned to death. Pretty rough way to go. Pretty rough way to go. Well, that's what the word of God said. But now verse 11, but ye say. So he's putting in contrast here what the word of God said and what they said. Now, in life, the way it should be is what I say should agree with what God says, right? That's the way it's supposed to be. And again, that's where the problem comes in. When I get to saying something other than what the Bible says, then there's problems. Well, that's what they did. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, he explains the term, that is to say a gift. Corban means a gift. That is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. In other words, if you go out and get your father and mother some kind of gift, you know, get them something, you give it to them and say, okay, this is for you and you are profited, can be profited by me with this gift that I give you, then you are free. What does he mean by free? Verse 12, and ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. In other words, go out and get your mom and dad a gift and basically buy them off, and you're free. You don't have to do anything else. You no longer have to obey the commandment of honoring your father and mother anymore. You're free from that commandment. That's what they said. Just give them something. Just buy them a gift, and then from that point forward, you don't have to worry about honoring your father and mother. Or if you haven't honored your father and mother, if you give them a gift, then that makes up for it, and you don't have to die the death. You don't have to be stoned to death. You see what they had done? They had created their own loophole to where they did not have to adhere to what God said. That's what they'd come up with. That was what they had did to avoid doing what the scripture said. And this goes back to verse 10 where they rejected the commandment of God. Verse 8, laying aside the commandment, they put it aside. They wasn't doing what the Bible said. They'd come up with ways to, in their mind anyway, get around what God was telling them to do. Verse 13, making the word of God of none effect, rendering the word of God ineffective. It wasn't able to work because they were casting it aside, replaced it with their own tradition. The word of God cannot work in our hearts and lives the way God wants it to until we accept it as authority, believe what it says, and honor what it says. When we begin to do that, then the word of God can be effective in us. But as long as we want to hold on to tradition and not care what the Bible says, the word of God can't do what it needs to do in us. And that's why, are y'all listening to me? That's why people can sit under good, sound Bible preaching and be told the truth time and time again, and their lives never change. Because in their mind and heart, they're all about tradition. Listen, for us to get help, for the preaching of the Word of God to benefit, we've got to see it as the authority and say, Lord, I'm not worried about my tradition. I just want to hear what you have to say and accept that. And when you do that, the Word of God becomes effective in your life. It can do something. But as long as you're putting it aside for tradition, it's of no effect. Notice, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Now, I'm going to read verse 14 and we'll stop. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. He's fixing to give them a lesson. All the people he calls in, not just his disciples, but he calls all the people around. And he says, I'm fixed to tell you something that you need to hear, and you need to listen to what I'm saying and understand it. Any questions about what we looked at today?